1029 The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian podcast is brought to you by Marcus Theaters. Safety and well-being of guests and associates are top priority. Temporarily closing was the right thing to do, and when timing is right, the movie experience will return. Updates at MarcusTheaters.com.
And now, your 24/7 sports reporter title holder, Tim Murray.
Hey, Timmy.
I'm always ready to defend this crown.
You better be. You better be.
Wherever
Someone
you
steps
are.
Steps into this studio. No they say they want to do sports with Bob and Brian. You give him a sidekick to the dome.
Because Gronk came out of the booth last night and won that belt. Laid on top of the pile and said, oh, no, I think I'm taking home the belt.
See, I just don't think that this is really possible.
Explain.
So you have some kind of title.
Not some kind of title. It's a 24/7 belt.
Right. Yeah. You have in what make it any activity at all. And whoever wants to challenge you for the title can do it anywhere in the world, any time of day, as long as some official is present.
And a camera, because it's not real.
Well, that's what I say. I don't think this is really possible.
Cameras, if you're never more than 2 inches from a camera anymore, get out of here. You know, we just talked about you're never more than a mile from a big cat.
Well, I mean, if you can arrange a wrestling referee to be with you.
That's the key right there.
Chase this title down, a camera would be easy.
Yeah. Other sports aren't brave enough to do this, Brian, or they would. That's why the WWE is so great. They are more brave than other sports. Yes. Who even came up with this idea? No other sports even entertain the idea that, like, if, okay.
It would have to be an individual sport, right?
Now, does he have to be carrying around the belt at all times since it's a 24?
Oh, I don't.
Because
you don't truly become
a champion.
Okay, I'll mail you the belt.
Fine. Whoa. You don't truly become a champion unless you get to hoist belt.
Because Gronk ran off with the belt, right? He held it up and then ran off.
Well, now we're in the social distancing world, but, you know, if things were normal, you know, Gronk's walking down the street in Boston.
You give him a forearm shiver.
Some Bostonian, you know, comes up to Gronk. He's like, hey, Gronk, watch this. Smashes a bottle over his head, lays on top. Boom. He's the 24/7 champ, right?
As long as there's a WWE ref.
Yes.
You declare a witness.
It. Yeah.
Hey, look who my cousin is here.
Yeah.
He's a WWF ref. WWE.
And now I'm the WWE
champ.
Now you're
24/7 champ.
Yeah.
It's a good stipulation.
Yeah. It's a great belt. It's a belt that I'm glad I know about now. I don't want it.
I've never heard about it before.
It just leaves you open to attack.
I stopped watching, you know, when it was like Intercontinental champ, and I don't know. I don't know half the,
here's,
like 80%
here's the problem
of the belts
with that.
Now.
Gronk now holds this belt. He goes into Taco Bell. All he wants is a couple of soft shell Taco Supremes. The guy behind the counter recognizes him. He picks up a stool and smashes him in the face.
But there's no ref there. Now if Gronk's walking around town with a ref by his side, now you're open for a stool to the face.
You know, you better hope that everybody in the world remembers that rule.
That there has to be a ref.
Right.
Oh,
all
no
you
ref?
Need is
oh,
a yeah. few people to not get the message, and you're fending people off for no reason.
This could be the worst belt to hold because you're always on guard. You never know when you're going to get attacked by. And I'm telling you, in the WWE, there's somebody out there who really believes this is a real belt and is going to attack Rob Gronkowski at some point.
And unless he lives in some kind of guarded fortress.
Maybe.
I think the title holder would shift like every, I don't know, 18
who's
to 36 hours.
Who's to say that where he lives, the Gronkowski estate, maybe they won't turn on him there?
Sure.
I think he's engaged. What if his wife, fiance calls up Vince McMahon, hey, get me a ref into the house now.
I'm going to leave the back door unlocked.
I'm pinning him. And she, I don't know. What would be something, you know, she kicks him in the fellas, and he's like, oh, and then just lays on top of him for 3 seconds. Boom. And now his fiance is.
Who do you think holds the title longer? The 24/7 belt holder or the oldest person in the world? Who holds that title longer?
Well, I was just, you know, it's only been around since about a year ago.
How many times has it changed hands in that?
I'm looking for all the champions. Established May 20, 2019.
Not even a year. Right. It's really new.
Titus O'Neil became the inaugural champion, defeating Cedric Alexander, Drake Maverick, EC3, Eric Young, and a bunch of others.
Then where do you lose it? At a muffler shop or something?
Apparently, the Mike Rome, the WWE.
I was just trying to get my muffler changed. And,
My service guy attacks me.
Wait, hold up. So
I'm not going to pay a lot for this muffler.
I'm reading through this thing. One of the announcers held the belt for 9 seconds.
No, I believe that. That's like I say.
Apparently, 78-year-old Pat Patterson at one point in time was the 24/7 champ. Enes Kanter of the Boston Celtics, he held this title at one point in time.
Looks like.
And then he wiped, six different women have held this belt.
It was never specified as gender exclusive.
Kyle Busch held it for a while.
Kyle Busch
NASCAR driver
held it. Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Great.
A WWE senior account manager, Michael Giazzo, he held it. You know what? I'm more intrigued. I'm intrigued. I need to follow Gronk around. There, when's he going to lose it?
There you go.
I think
this morning, I'll bet somebody will be at a coffee shop and leap on him.
Well, nobody's in coffee shops now.
He's getting his tires rotated. He's sitting in the waiting area, you know, social distancing, every other chair. You know, that sort of thing. And someone goes, hey, is that Gronkowski? And they go, yeah. Are you a WWE wrestling official, referee? No.
Well, yes, I am.
Yeah. Would you, if Gronkowski had his back to you, even as a joke, and would you go up to him and put like a, what's that called, a sleeper hold on him from behind and go, hey, man, that title's mine. Would you do that even as a joke to Gronkowski? Or do you think he'd throw you through three walls?
Yeah, I'd rather not do that because I'd rather not.
Given your choice.
You can do that, yes. Given my choice, I'd go with
local
the
DJ dead.
Trying to win WWE 24/7
clowning
belt.
Around.
Did you read through some of the places where this belt has switched ownership?
Is my muffler shop fairly close?
Well, it appears between June 2nd, 2019 and June 6th, 2019, just shortly after it was introduced, there was just a total free-for-all going on between like three different guys here. R-Truth, Ginger Mahal, and Elias. R-Truth appears to have picked it up in Tulsa, and then Ginger Mahal took it from him on an unidentified golf course. Several days later. And then on the same golf course the same day, it was taken back.
When do you attack? When they're on the tee box, putting green? You don't want them to have a club in their hand.
Yeah, when are they most vulnerable?
If you're going to attack, if you're going to surprise sneak up on somebody, I don't want them to have a 4-iron in their hands when I come flying out of the bushes, especially a professional wrestler.
And on the far right in this column, it has all the place. Okay, let's see. Robert Roddy became the 24/7 champ on May 20th, 2019, just hours after Titus O'Neil had won it. He took it from him in the entrance ramp. Then R-Truth.
This is like the Pink Panther
took
with
it away
Kato.
From him. Took it away from him on the first day of its existence. It had three
I'm winning
owners.
That belt, and I'm going and hiding. I'm going to go to an undisclosed log cabin and just give weekly updates. Be like, well, no one's challenged me out here.
Yeah.
Out in my log cabin.
R-Truth took it just hours after it was born in the parking lot of the venue in Albany, New York. 24/7 rule was temporarily suspended until after the scheduled tag team match later the same night on May 28th, 2019, in which Elias and R-Truth were both involved. So it switched over there at a match. Actually, it happened at a match.
No, Gronk got it at a match. He just came out of nowhere to win it, came out of the booth.
So we got golf course, lumberjack match, under the ring.
Sure.
Let's see. This one took place on the tarmac during a stopover at Frankfurt Airport on the way to Saudi Arabia.
Title sure.
Was shown on WWE's website accounts. Yeah. It happens on airplanes, too. So airplanes.
It's anywhere.
Lots, under the ring.
There's
I
no
just love that.
Golf course.
Apparently, there is no shortage of WWE referees, apparently.
There's no ghoul.
Here's one. During Drake Maverick's wedding ceremony.
You're pretty vulnerable up there.
R-Truth was pinned in the aisle as Maverick and his wife, Renee Michelle, were making their exit. Yeah.
At his wedding.
Yeah. Ah,
good.
I like that. Vince McMahon, give him all the credit for his creativity.
Yeah, it's something. I was watching. I was telling you a little off air, and I know I'm late to the party, but that's what this time of that's what this situation has put us in. I had always wanted to watch it, and I finally had time. I watched the Andre the Giant documentary on HBO last night.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Vince McMahon and how they had, I mean, I didn't even know the vision of wrestling and how it was regionalized, and then WWF now E. essentially found they figured out a way with production value to ship out and get into other markets.
Well, Vince
and then
McMahon
all of these
broke,
big
Vince McMahon broke the rule that all the old wrestling guys had lived by, like, look, we're regional, you don't
right.
come and poach our stars.
But Vince then once these other, like, once Jerry the King Lawler or whoever saw the production value coming out of the, you know, the Northeast, they were like, well, can we be part of that production?
Vince McMahon didn't care about their old rules.
He was
a business guy, and he was going to get the best people for his show that he could find from all these little regional wrestling places. And he did. And he put together the world's biggest wrestling organization. And it's worked out pretty well for him.
Yeah, he's done
worked
all right.
Worked out pretty well. Now
that's the most random thing. So NBC, their worldwide headquarters is in a town called Stamford, Connecticut. Small little coastal town in Connecticut, maybe a little less than an hour away from New York City. Not a big town. And when you get off the exit to go to get to NBC's headquarters, right there on the off ramp, you look to your left, WWE headquarters. Now, the facility that you saw WrestleMania in last night is in Orlando, but their main headquarters and the McMahons, I believe, still live in Connecticut. It's right there, just your classic old office building with a WWE flag flying atop.
Like, is it a skyscraper?
Mm-mm, no. I don't know. Probably 8 stories.
Oh, really?
That's a lot of buildings.
That's pretty good.
That's a lot of stories for, you know. Now I know Capitol Records in Los Angeles had that big white round building, you know, and all that. You know, that was their headquarters.
It'd be nice if the wrestling headquarters were a real iconic kind of fortress. You know?
Well, from what I understand, this thing down in Orlando, this training facility is out of this world. I mean,
yeah.
If anyone watched it or saw clips of WrestleMania, I mean, they came out. It's a legit set. It's got stands. It's got walkout entrance, all that stuff, and that's inside a training facility.
I'm looking for images.
Well, it's come a long way, like the NFL, if you look at how...
Oh, yeah, it's got, like, what, 5 rings stacked up around in there? 4?
Oh, the whole... the facility?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even... I mean, it's out of this world. I mean, they have a whole... you know, that's where people go and train, and then they have a minor league system now. So, yeah, it's the real deal. My producer is big into wrestling. Like, he is... he writes about it.
So is he? Was he watching when Gronk took the 24/7 belt?
Oh yeah, he'll be tweeting about random stuff on like Wednesday nights. I'm like, I thought wrestling just happened on Mondays and Sundays. He's like, there's like just crazy crap all over the place. But yeah, he tweeted about it. Sure.
Was he happy?
I didn't understand what the hell was going on. I'm like, Gronk, was he in a fight? I didn't understand what the hell the 24/7 belt was. I don't know how.
It's a separate and distinct title from apparently the championship.
Until 3
o'clock.
Do you think
this is a bigger honor to him than winning a Super Bowl? To be the 24/7 champ of the WWE?
It seemed more like it was ambush is how he won it. He let them do all the work. They didn't even know he was going to participate. He charges down out of the booth at the end and takes the title. I don't think so. I think he knows that it's tainted. Not like his Super Bowl rings. He won those outright. So I don't know.
But speaking of this was kind of interesting. So Brock Lesnar went to Minnesota. He is a Gopher alum. I think that's where he won. I think national championships at Minnesota, if I remember correctly, as a wrestler. And he fought in, I believe, the headline match last night in WrestleMania. It was Lesnar against a guy named Drew McIntyre.
Mm-hmm.
And Rick Pitino, who is now the head coach of Iona in New Rochelle, New York, he tweeted at his son, Richard, who is the head coach of Minnesota, saying, hey, if Brock Lesnar beats Drew McIntyre, You come to Iona, and if Drew McIntyre beats Brock Lesnar, we'll go to Minnesota and play you guys. And then his son responded, you flipped that around and you've got a deal. So he wanted Brock Lesnar. Rick Pitino got Drew McIntyre, a little dad versus son bet for a home basketball game this upcoming season. And Drew McIntyre won, so that means that Minnesota is going to play a basketball game at Iona this upcoming basketball season.
All based on a WWE wrestling match.
That is correct, yes.
I don't know the difference between all the different kinds of matches. What's a Boneyard match? What's a Firefly Funhouse match? What's a Lumberjack match? I don't know what they are.
I'll be honest.
I was very into wrestling during the Attitude Era, which was probably the peak of the WWE, which was, you know, Stone Cold, The Rock, all of those. That was late 90s, early 2000s. There was like a Hell in the Cell where you win the match usually by someone's like blood, like you have to. There's a first blood match. I remember those. Those were interesting.
I remember the first cage match I ever saw. The winner was the guy who could crawl out.
Yeah, to climb out of the ring.
Because once you started climbing,
you had to throw people out of the ring.
No. Well,
that's a Royal Rumble.
Oh. Oh, right.
You throw them out over the
top.
Right,
you couldn't throw them out of a cage.
Now, when you were thrown over the top rope, you could not enter the ring again. You were done at that point, right? Once somebody had thrown you over the top rope.
Yeah, you're done.
You're done. You can't.
Yeah.
Were there guys who didn't abide by that rule and came back in anyway?
I don't know.
No.
what do you think? Is this anarchy?
Wrestlers play by the rules. They're rules. They have rules.
I still remember when Mick Foley, Mankind, got chokeslammed through like a Hell in the Cell. He dropped like 20 stories.
Come on.
God, man.
Come on.
Dropped 20 stories. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Did anyone plummet out of the ring last night? There was no...
It was always funny to watch the guy in the cage match trying to crawl up that chain link fence because everybody would attack.
Oh, yeah.
It was
they had grabbed by their little shorts, pulled back.
I'm getting out of here. Oh, no, you're not. And wasn't there barbed wire on top of the cage a lot of the times in a cage match?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think there was. To make it, you know, it's not bad enough you just got beat up by 30 guys. Now there's barbed wire up on top that you've got to get over. You know, there's prisons that are easier to escape.
But the funny thing, going back to the documentary about Andre the Giant, was Hulk Hogan talking about how there were specific wrestlers that he didn't like. Andre the Giant didn't like.
Didn't like Randy Macho Man Savage.
He hated him.
For some reason, he just did not like him.
He's like, no baby oil.
Yeah, he just didn't like him.
And he said he would just beat the crap out of
yeah,
him.
Yeah, like, yeah, just because he didn't like him. And didn't Randy used to say to Hulk, can you talk to him and make sure you know he knows that we're cool? Wasn't that one of the things? Randy Macho Man Savage just got pounded by Andre every time they wrestled.
But yeah, the documentary was building up to WrestleMania 3, which was, I mean, do you guys remember the build up to that? Andre the Giant against Hulk Hogan?
No,
87, really, I think.
No, not particularly.
Yeah.
I was busy. I was a new dad. I had other things on my mind. we had just moved here. So I didn't really commit a lot of time to it.
No?
No. No. No, unfortunately. Sorry. No, that probably comes as a shock to
I'm
you.
I'm very shocked and I'm very disappointed.
I feel like, it won't be the last time, Tim. Let me guarantee
someone should come in and take the 24/7 radio host belt from you right now.
There's no 24/7 belt. I'm not going to live my life in fear like that. Just let some maniac come up from behind to get the belt. Nope. I'm out.